she's annoying.
No.
I think Anaya's just concerned that Maple's also going to want to do some activity with her. But no, she's good. She's Maple right beside Joshua there, Anaya.
You got a new friend?
It's like we sat down and she's like, oh, all right. Yeah. Like I can also sit down. And yeah, she was excited to worship with us, and that's great.
She was a worship usher at the time.
Yeah, just making sure everybody's good.
She was pacing and licking in the spirit, is that
right? Sure, yeah. We'll go with that. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
She just
I'm not using a blasphemous, she was speaking in tongues.
Maybe, yes. And she licked every, sure, let's go with that, Jerry. Suzanne's like, that was bad. That was bad.
I don't disagree, but I could not say it. Yeah, problem.
It was quite bad. All right, we are in the book of what?
Corinthians.
No, Colossians. Jeremy, no, it's Colossians. We're good, right? We're recording here. Correct. As you know, looks good. It's just yeah, it, other times it wasn't on the lock screen right away, and so. Oh yeah, we're going.
So, is Colossians in the New Testament?
Yes, it sure is. It's right. Philippians, after Philippians. So you need to go way at the back here. Corinthians before Hebrews. You just keep paging from there and you'll get to it after Corinthians.
Ephesians?
Now keep going. Oh, before Timothy. There it is. Oh, you had it. Philippians, Colossians. Good.
The
Asher's
tough,
there.
Tough ones,
yeah, they're little ones. Little books. So there we are in Colossians. So we are in the message series, Living as a New Life Church. And so, I just changed it, and I think it froze.
More than froze, that.
It's like, it not just froze, but it was like a... Yeah, kind of a crazy freeze. You want to do HDMI? Let's hook it up to HDMI. We should be good to go that way. Thanks, Caleb. It's not you. It's the TV.
It's our ancient TV. I shouldn't admit how long we've had this TV.
How long has it been going for? That's
pre marriage.
Before we were married, so 10, probably 15 years.
Ooh,
that's impressive. It was Jeremy's TV before we got married.
That's impressive.
The one that I brought to the marriage was even smaller. So. And we just haven't, like, bothered. We don't mind it being small, but then when things like this happen, we suddenly go, oh, it's old, it's small.
It's the tiny one. That's right. You can't go on where it cannot update anymore, so yeah. Netflix doesn't work on it.
Oh, really? See, everything still works on it. That's partially why. I guess if it broke, we'd definitely replace it.
But. Yeah, TVs aren't expensive. Like, they give them away when you go in Costco now, don't they?
Yes.
It has changed. What?
I probably paid $800 for that thing, which buy you four... Like,
4K, 60 plus inch, right? But that's wonderful.
Did you consider we should know where to put it?
Yeah.
To block the view, I guess.
No, don't do that. Oh my goodness. All right, we're good. So we are in our series, Living as a New Life Church, and... we're on message 3, but this is message 2 in this section of Paul commends the Colossian church. And so he's commending them, saying, I thank God for you guys because of these various things. And so that's what we're going through right now. And so this series really is about, as we've read through Colossians a number of times, we can see that when we talk about living as new life believers, we can see that that's something that's an individual charge to us, right? You know, put on the new life. Like, that's something that happens individually. But at the same time, we can see that that's done. We're called to live in a new life community, right? It's something we do in community as the body of Christ, as the church. And so Paul, as he's talking about putting on the new life, He's saying, you've got to get these things right. He's urging them, you know, do this well. He's saying, put on the new life, grow, mature, and be renewed to the image of our Creator. And we read that in Colossians 3, verse 10, right? You know, put on that new life. Learn what it is to be new life people. And then he's saying, do that well in the context of the community. He's talking to a body of believers and saying, put on the new life. When he talks about loving and putting on love above all else, it means love those in your community. Be a loving community. Be an example to the world. And he also urges them to take their place in acting as the body of Christ. And so that's kind of the idea of what this message series is about. And I believe that as we are a new church starting up, studying Colossians and seeing what Paul was like urging them to do, it's going to be so important for us to say, you know, what do we need to focus on as people that want to be new life believers individually, but doing that in community. And so that's, you know, I hope that it will solidify who we are as a new life church and what we need to be about, what we need to focus on. And so the first week, there was kind of a standalone message when we looked at the first three verses, when Paul talked about, he kind of giving his credentials and talking about his calling. I'm an apostle of Christ, you know, called by the will of God, and this is who I am. And so I did an introduction of myself as well too, and then also acknowledged, you know, Paul, he's basically acknowledging the call of God in his life. And it was fun to be able to acknowledge the call of God on our lives as well too. And so, Jeremy, I never did thank you for those three kind of short write-ups about when I gave the introduction and talked about our family and stuff like that. So he kind of did a quick, I don't know how quick these things are when he does it.
He said I did. Robot.
Whatever.
I took
he made it happen, right? He had the software, right, to make it happen.
You had written the stuff already. It wasn't new code that you were doing to make it.
Well, that was just GPT. I just took the trick, because now we have the recordings, and
right,
you took some time to tell your family story.
Yeah. So I told my story, and then it like gave three different ways of telling the story. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat, you know, just to summarize it in a way. You know, Paul just like, an apostle of God. There's a whole lot packed in there, right? And it's fun when you kind of take your own story and condense it. And man, there's a lot of things packed in there as well, how God has been leading us, right? How he's been leading us to where we are today, each one of us. And so we can see how God has been doing that in our lives.
Flip-flops to snow boots was the title.
Flip-flops, yeah. The title of the one rendering of our story that came out from the AI program that Jeremy's using was called From Flip-Flops to Snow Boots or Snowshoes.
Yeah, talking about God's grace. Like
yeah, like yeah, and God's weird grace and all that, so that's fun.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I need to read that to you guys. I forgot to. Anyways, the message last week, it was the three essentials of the new life journey, right? You know, so it's like, this first section is, you know, what is Paul commending the church for? And it was as we looked at it, did anything else come up here? Yeah, we go. The three essentials of the new life journey. That's what I believe the first thing was that Paul is commending them for. And those three essentials were what? Do you guys remember? Faith? Well, let's do it in the order that Paul said it, all right? Faith, love, and hope, right? So Paul says it in that order because, you know, we talked about it, that it's like we come to faith, we're growing in our faith, and then we begin to bear fruit. But why are we doing those things? Well, it's because of the hope that we have in Christ, right? We have that hope, and so we have this faith. And those three essentials, we talked about them being, they're the destination. That's what we're working towards while we're here on earth. While God still has us here, Lord, however long you're going to keep us on the earth, those are the things, that's the destination we're working towards. And those are the things that actually help us work towards them as well. So at the same time, they're a roadmap and a destination. With, of course, you know, Paul's longing to see Jesus face to face, we absolutely have that as well too. But that's the hope, the driving, kind of the fuel that helps us. The fuel that gives us the faith and helps us express God's hope in love to others. That was that last week. This week, we're focusing on verses 5 and 6. Okay, so verses 5 and 6, and the message, the title of the message is The Gospel Received, Revealed, and Released. So the Gospel Received, Revealed, and Released. And so let's read, we're actually going to read that first section where we're focusing on Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Okay, so I'm reading from the ESV this morning, so I'll read it. Or maybe does someone else want to read it? Either does anybody have ESV in their hand or want to read it from the screen? Give me a time to actually take a drink of water.
I have ESV.
Yeah.
You're going to stand up to read it?
Let's do that. Yeah, let's stand and read. I'll get a drink while we're reading.
We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you, since we hear of your faith in Jesus, or Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. I was not articulate, but I did say the words.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, let's pray and thank God for his word today. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for how you speak to us through your word. Lord, do speak, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. I did. I got my water. Appreciate it.
Anybody else need water?
What's that? Sorry?
I just offered water to everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody's good? All right. So verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, they say, you know, we have the faith, we have love because of the hope laid up for us in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth. I thought she was excited about reading the word, but she sees some out there. Yeah, that's good.
What a the gospel is a squirrel.
And squirrels, yeah.
I saw a squirrel dancing on the tree.
I like the guy put that energy in the room when you were saying
this is good. Yeah, she did. Yeah, God did. Paul, when he writes these letters, like he's pretty intentional in what he puts in them. If we think about like the context of that day, the effort that goes into writing one of these letters and then delivering it to one of the churches, it's pretty incredible. And at times we can just sort of fly by some of these verses where it's like, oh yeah, you know, of course the Colossian church, yes, you've heard it, they've heard the gospel, and that's why, you know, that's why they became a community of believers. It's like, Paul, why are you saying that? They already know that. But there's obviously a reason that he's telling the church that. It's like, you know, you heard the gospel of truth. You come together as a group, a body of believers now, and you know, it's the gospel. And so Paul is very intentional about mentioning that they've received the gospel and that there's effects of the gospel. There's things taking place because you've received that message. And so, you know, as I was thinking about preparing this message, I was like, you know, what can we focus on when Paul mentions the gospel? I was thinking, oh, it might be cool to sort of talk about the Christian movement and how it did grow back in that time, and then now it continues to grow, and how we're a part of a fellowship of churches called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and here's how many churches there are and how many people, and we're a part of the Western Ontario District, and that's how many. I'm like, you guys can do your own research. You can look that up if you want to see how many churches are, and things like that. I wanted to focus on the context and say, why is Paul mentioning this to this church, to the Colossians? If you've heard me say it before, I've said it a number of times, that this is a fairly new church. Paul had not had the chance to visit them yet. And so he wants to say, even though I haven't been with you personally, the message that you heard is the truth. Like, it's the gospel. And you need to know that. Don't doubt. And please do not be deceived. We know that there were people going around at that time saying, no, like, that's not the full gospel. You also need to add different elements of the law, or you need to do these different things. And Paul's like, this is the truth. This is the gospel. Please, please understand that. This church needed solid teaching to counteract any false teaching that was going around, or maybe doubt or things like that. This Epaphras, well, he was one of us, right? You know, he was like, does he really have the same knowledge or truth that Paul is speaking? So Paul's like, this is it, guys. This is the truth. Even though they first heard it from Epaphras, it was the truth. And so that's what Paul is saying to them. Listen, and I think it's sort of the kind of the reverse psychology type thing. Am I on the right spot there? Yeah. Hearing, receiving the gospel. Yeah. I think there's kind of a reverse psychology thing of Paul saying, it's like, I commend you for this, because there's a chance that they might actually be being deceived or doubting that it was the right message, right? But he's saying, I commend you for hearing and receiving the gospel message, the good news that was sent to you. And I commend you because the gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing among you. And so those are the things that he's commending them for. And so, you know, for us as a body of believers as well, too, what does this mean for us? How do we apply Paul's commendation for receiving the gospel and the gospel doing what it's supposed to do, which is bear fruit and grow in communities, in a group? How do we apply that to our lives as well, too, in our church? And so I like when I can do like the same letter sort of things to help us remember. I was like, yes, I think this works. And you have to be the judge of that, whether these words actually work for what the gospel means. And the gospel is something. And as I was going through the message this morning, I wanted to change the something to message. The is a message, because it's not just a something, like it's a message. The gospel is a message we receive, reveal, and release. And so if we're going to be a new life church that Paul wants all believers to be, we need to be people who receive the gospel, and part of that, which we're going to learn, is truly understanding it. People that reveal the gospel to ourselves as a community, and then also release it again and again, that it's being released, it's being shared for people to receive it. So let's jump right into those 3-point sermon. Perfect, right? You know, as a former Baptist, yeah, right? It's just right at home, eh? Right at home, feeling good. The gospel is something we receive. And you guys are like, again, Greg, this is another duh moment, right? It's like, yes, we have all received the gospel. I'm speaking to a room of people who have come to know Christ, that you have made a commitment to follow him. We do receive the gospel, but I think, you know, what Paul is saying is going deeper. It's going further than just that. This is an important reminder, and it's important to look at what Paul meant by the word that he used and understand what it means as far as the gospel. And so verses 5 and 6, when we look at those verses, and we do have it up here, there's two things that I want to look at. And the first is that Paul focuses on the fact that they have received the gospel, right? It's like you see all those different things. And again, he's saying, don't doubt that you've received it. The message, it didn't come from me, but that's the truth. Epaphras, he brought the message of Christ to you. You have heard it, he says, right? You've heard the message of hope and the word of truth. It has come to you. Have that assurance. It has come to you. You heard it and understood it. He's like, this is the gospel message. Don't doubt. And so there's something that I can pull from that, we can pull from that this morning, is saying the work that Christ did in your heart when he spoke to you, when the Holy Spirit began to stir in you, and whether someone shared the gospel message to you or you were in a church service and you heard the gospel message, I just want to say, That's the truth. That's the message. God did a work in you. He brought salvation in your heart. Be assured of that. Be assured of that message that you originally heard as well, too, that you have received the gospel message. There's times we go through trials, we go through difficulties, we begin to doubt, or we begin to be confused, or things like that. But let's be assured of the gospel message in our lives, that we've received it. The second thing that Paul focuses on is these different terms, right? Where he's like, it's the truth. The gospel message is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It was the word of truth. It was the gospel. It's the grace of God in truth. When you heard the message, that's God's grace summed up right there. And so what is the message of truth that the Colossians heard and understood it? What's the definition of this message of truth, or the gospel? In some of Paul's writings, he mentions the word gospel, and we're gonna read that in Romans chapter 1. He mentions the word gospel, and then he says, which is this? And then he describes what the gospel is. And he does that I should have written it down, but I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 as well, where he says, here's the gospel, and boom, he's talking about the gospel. But here he doesn't, right? He just says, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel. And so I think it's important for us to define the word gospel. What is gospel? What is the truth? This word, it's actually frequently used in the New Testament. The Greek word is evangelion in the noun form. In the verb form, and that means good news. Evangelion. Some of the research I was doing, it's actually used. It's used when a king would come and they'd be victorious, and there's victory over a battle, and the good news would be the victory that took place. That's the evangelion. We've conquered. We've had victory. The act of actually proclaiming the good news is evangelizomai. That sound right? That sounds good, right? Evangelizomai.
Perfect.
Jeremy's good with it. We're going to go with it. So the noun is actually used 75 times. The verb, evangelizomai, is 56 times. Sometimes you just say it fast enough with confidence. It's like, that's it. Yeah. That's the one. Paul, he actually really, really liked to use these terms. He used the noun, evangelion 60 of the 75 times. So Paul used this word 60 times of the 75 times that it's used in all the New Testament. And so, again, most of the churches, they knew what it meant because he doesn't give that explanation of what it is, just like in this passage. But I do like Romans 1 and how Paul describes it there. So I've got Romans chapter 1 verses 1 to 6 there. And this is what it says. And then verses 16 and 17 as well. He says, Paul, I'm Paul, I'm a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle. I've been set apart for the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is something that God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And the gospel of God was about and concerning his son. His son, he was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. How was he declared to be the Son of God? Well, it was by the resurrection of the dead that showed us that Jesus Christ, he's our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, Romans, you who were called to belong to Jesus Christ, and including us, we have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the gospel. Again, he talks about the effects of the gospel, right? You know, there's the description of the gospel. Well, what does the gospel do when someone receives it? And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and this is why, because it is the power of God for saving those who would believe, right? For the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so that is Paul's definition of the gospel. And the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary also gives a definition of what the Bible is. And I like in their description, it's a very, very long definition of the gospel, because it talks about the gospel in Paul literature. It talks about it in the New Testament as a whole. It talks about it in the gospels. You know, what does the gospel mean? And so this is how they've summarized it. And I think they did a great job of what the gospel means. The gospel in the New Testament can be summarized as the message about the kingdom of God established in the new life. Oh, sorry. Established in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, who is enthroned as Lord of all. This good news, or the gospel, describes events, and this, I love this part, events to which all scripture points and declares that all principalities and powers are defeated once and for all by Jesus the Messiah. Finally, all of humanity will be judged according to their reception or rejection of this good news. We have received the gospel. We are a part of this message. We've received the gospel message, and it's important for us to be able to explain it. If you want to memorize the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary definition, fantastic. Go ahead. That's great. But I think it's even more helpful for us to be able to say in our own words, I believe that the gospel message is the good news for all people, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took our sins on the cross, took them to the grave, was buried there for three days, left them in the grave, and rose to new life so that we can rise to new life. We can be raised to new life as well, to be saved, to be back in right relationship with God, and to have right relationship with others. That would be how I describe it. Put it in your own words, right? Be able to say, I received the gospel and I understand. And I understand what the gospel is as well. That's just so important for us as believers to say, you know what? This is what it means to be in Christ. This is what salvation means. This is the good news. And I think Paul is saying, you've understood the message. Don't doubt. And that helps us in times of doubt, right? He's saying, no, I know the truth. I know that this is what the gospel is. So the gospel is something we receive. But think of this, the word receive, as something more than just, yeah, I've got it. It's like, no, I receive it and I understand it. I understand what the gospel is. Point number two is the gospel is something we reveal. It's a message we reveal. I think not only it's something we reveal, but it's something that has to be revealed, right? It's the word of truth, right? Verse 5, it's the word of truth. Verse 6, it's the grace of God in truth. Just going to ask you a question. Do you think Paul thought it was important for the Colossian church to know that the message they first heard from Epaphras was the truth? Do you think that was important? Yeah, like it was so, so important. He's saying this is the true good news. And if we aren't speaking the truth of the gospel, if we're not revealing the truth of the gospel, like the whole truth and nothing but the truth, we begin to get into some dangerous, dangerous waters, right? And I think of a lot of, unfortunately, it's mainstream or even traditional churches that have made it their new theology or whatever to water down the gospel, to take what the world is saying is now right and truth, and saying we need to synchronize with what is new revealed truth, right? For those listening, I'm doing the quotations with my fingers, right? And melding those two things together. But we need to say, we need to declare, no, that's not the truth. That's the way society is operating and thinking and making them feel comfortable. But the truth is what is in the Word of God. And that is what we reveal, right? The gospel message, the truth of God's plan of salvation, is something that changes lives. You know, Paul was saying it in two ways, what the gospel message is. It's a message, yes, it's a message that is received, but we also see that it's something that changes lives by the effects of it, right? We need to be declaring the truth of the gospel. Oh, I left out something funny that I put in. Way to go. That's not good. So if we're not sharing the truth of the gospel, then we're nothing more than really a social club that's tickling the ears of those who like a good ear tickling, right? Who doesn't like a good ear tickling? I don't really like it. That's kind of weird. But it's
not about Maple, but
she Maple loves a good ear tickling, right? Yeah. But do you know what I mean? That it's just, it sounds good to our ears as we're going to say it. No, we've got to be speaking the truth of the gospel. And so when we look at what God says about the gospel message, we receive the gospel message. And the cool thing, the amazing thing is we also get to carry, spread, or shine the gospel message. That is a wonderful, amazing privilege. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, I'm sure very familiar to all of us. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Ouch, that's rough, right? But we're meant to salt, flavor, season the earth, right? Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand so that it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Paul's explaining this is how you receive Jesus Christ in your life. This is how you receive salvation. Then verse 14, he says, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith, it comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Individually, and as a church, a body of believers, we need to be about preaching the gospel truth, to declaring his truth. That is what changes lives. It's the gospel message revealed that changes people's lives. The gospel is something released. The gospel is a message that we release, or the gospel released. This was the one R where I was like, released, is that the right one? So, okay, listen to what I have to say and be like, yes, release, that's the one. Or if you can think of a better R word, let me know. But we're gonna work with this. Verse 6, the gospel, kind of just the end of verse 5, Paul's talking about the gospel, and he says, "This gospel message, it has come to you as indeed in the whole world. It is," what are the effects of it? It's bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit and increasing or growing, and as it also does among you. That's what I'm commending you for, Colossian church. It's bearing fruit. I see the effects of the gospel happening. I hear of the effects of the gospel happening within your church. And I see that it's growing. It's increasing. There's more and more hearing the gospel message. The gospel is a message, right? It's a message that's told. It's a message that gets to be shared. But because of the effects of the gospel message, we also see that it's something that's living. It's alive. It's active. It's powerful. It's this power, this force that transforms people, ideas, societies, and cultures, right? It's a powerful force when, and only when, it's released to do what it's supposed to. Release works, right? This works, yeah. It's a powerful force when it's released to do what it's meant to do. As I was thinking about this fact of the gospel, I thought of the time when we were in the Philippines, Asher and Anaya, and you guys remember those bug catchers we had? Those clear ones. Oh, it had the lid, and it was like there was a magnifying glass on top of it.
Wait, what?
We still have them.
You still have? Oh, we did bring them back. Oh, I should have looked. I should have brought them.
I thought it
didn't have the magnifying glass. Okay, maybe it just had the holes in the top. Anyway, they had these bug catchers. You'll like this. Listen, they had these bug catchers, and we we started to actually call them death traps instead of bug catchers, because every time, so in the Philippines, you guys have all been in different tropical countries, you know, there's lots of bugs to catch, right? Where it's just 365 days a year, these bugs are just loving life, right? They would catch bugs, whether it was ants, or sometimes we had geckos that would just be on our walls and whatever. If you got really good, you could catch them like that and put them, we would catch them or do them whatever. I know we'd feed them to snakes usually, but anyways, we had these bug catchers, and we'd put the bugs inside them. And after like maybe 2 days, after 2 or 3 days, they're dead, right? They just don't survive. They are not meant to be trapped, kept inside something out of their, they're not meant to be bottled up and captured outside of their natural habitat, right? Because you're not able to nurture these little bugs properly. They're not meant to be bottled up out of their natural habitat where they thrive and only kept for your own enjoyment. Because they're like, oh, they're cute, I like them, right? It was only for their own enjoyment. And I would say the gospel is not meant to be bottled up for our own enjoyment either. And that's where you could say amen or oh snap, right? as the kids, you wouldn't say oh snap? No. The kids, it's all the kids, cool kids are saying it these days. Too. The gospel is not meant to be bottled up for our own enjoyment only, right? It's not enough just to receive the gospel, to understand it for ourselves and have it revealed amongst ourselves and for us to be just enjoying it for our own enjoyment, just ourselves. It just like a bug, right? Bugs are meant to be out and doing their thing and being fruitful and growing and doing what they do for the soil. If you remember Paul's purpose as a pastor and as a preacher, it was Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He says, my purpose is to make the word of God fully known. So that was to reveal it, right? He knew he needed to reveal the gospel message. And then his goal, just 3 verses later, he says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Right? So he's saying that the gospel message needs to be released. We need to warn everyone. We need to proclaim Jesus to those around us. And so it's like saying, release those bugs, you know, release the hounds, or, you know, we hear that in movies or whatever, but release the gospel message. Let it do what it is meant to do. And so how I'd apply this to ourselves is that we need to be a disciple-making community. Sorry, this isn't up there. It maybe should be, but we need to be a disciple-making community. That's what churches are meant to be. Groups of believers coming together, sharing the message of Christ to those around them. We need to be teaching the truth and passing on the truth. It goes beyond just a Sunday morning. We need to give people the avenues and tools to be discipled, to be growing in relationship with Jesus and relationship with others, right relationship with others. I've said this in a different way, but the gospel is transformative in nature. It is meant to transform, to change lives. And the moment a church becomes internally focused on what they do and not about bearing fruit and growing, they're no longer doing what the purpose of the gospel is anymore. And unfortunately, you then become irrelevant to the community around you, because there's community centers. There's places where you can go to hear what you want to hear. There's the local bar. There's you know, all different places that you can go to have that, to have what you want, to have said what you want to hear, right? But what I'm trying to say is, doing church is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to gather. It's wonderful to sing songs, to give our praises to God, to have even sometimes different routines and get into a bit of a routine, things like that. Those things happen, right? But we can't make church about the songs we sing or the traditions we have or where we sit or the things that we do. We can't, and just like a cute little bug, we keep for our enjoyment, right? We can't keep church as something just for us, for our enjoyment, just to kind of push at once in a while and see what it'll do and for our own enjoyment. You guys getting that? You getting that, right? That's a good analogy. The church must be about the gospel. It needs to be about the announcement and growth in spreading and releasing of the gospel. Amen. We need to be the church, right? Be the church and not just do church. This releasing or spreading the gospel, it truly is the purpose of the church. And the exciting thing is that, again, we carry that message and we get to do that together. We get to be people that release the message of God together as we grow in the truth of the gospel in community ourselves and have that bleed out into our communities also. And I love, as we look at the early church, we see that modeled, right? Where it says in Acts, it says they gathered regularly, they were together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they enjoyed it all for themselves. No, like, it doesn't say that at all. It's like people were added to their number daily. Like they were growing. People were hearing the gospel message. They were hearing the message of Christ, and their people were added to their number daily. So just to close today, again, the big idea is the gospel is something we receive, reveal, and release. And wait for it. There's another R, believe it or not. Repeat. Right? It's not something that stops there, but it's repeated, that it's received, it's revealed, it's released. It's received, it's revealed, it's released. It happens over and over, and you can't stop the gospel, right? Like, it doesn't stop, and we've seen this in our lives, we've seen this in different places in the world, that when the gospel is, even if it hits a dead end somewhere, it will branch off and go somewhere else, that the gospel is alive and active, and it changes people's lives. And so, for us, as a church, as a new church, as a church that wants to be living out the new life, the gospel message, it truly is something that's powerful. Remember that. It's the word of God. It's the word of God in truth. And the gospel message, it changes lives. And some of this, we see it happening naturally or organically, but we see how intentional Paul is about spreading the word of truth to those around him. Well, we need to be intentional about it as well, too. Be intentional about revealing the whole message of the gospel. And we can't be merely about receiving the gospel and then revealing it maybe just to ourselves, but intentional how we would spread this message, release it to others, discipling people in the message of truth. And so here's kind of the final challenge and question, and I hope this spurs some thought for us. Will we be a people who are commended for receiving the gospel? In other words, understanding it, saying, yeah, I understand the gospel message. I am firm in my understanding of the gospel. And I want to allow it to bear fruit and grow in us as a community, as a church, that we're growing in it. It's being revealed, but we're also releasing it. We're releasing it to others as well. We receive, reveal, release, repeat. I believe that this is what it means to be, this is what it looks like to be a new life church, to live as a new life church. Let's be commended for that, right? And that's the message for today. And I don't know if there's anything that sticks out to you just before we wrap up by praying.
Your third arm was good.
It worked. Yeah.
It's good to have not a reminder, but to put all this back in front of us. That it, sometimes you look, if someone's like, what's the gospel? You don't really have a quick.
Yeah.
Because the answer isn't Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It's more right. than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's, it's good to have that reminder.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the message.
So, yeah, it's in a very important. Part of the gospel.
Yeah. And I even had a professor once in Bible college. He said, because often people say that, right? It's like, Jesus died for you. And it's like, that leaves him still on the cross, right? Like, that's not where the hope is. It's like, and I think that would be a practical thing that I'd want to say to us this morning, is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he was risen to new life, right? Like, he left those sins there. And that's the hope of the message of the gospel, and that's the important one, right? So
even the subtle aspect of it too, the reason that the gospel spread so quickly, because a man rose from the dead. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of lose that now too. Like, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. No, a guy rose.
Yeah.
And that is the most important part. But I think we've become numb. Society has become numb to that. If a man just died and then rose from the dead in front of you, you would go,
What just happened? Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's good.
I like your choice of words because they're active. Receive, reveal, release, and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all active, and that just reminds me that it is alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's active. It's a process. Like, it's not something you just, like, you're kind of going back to. You don't just receive it and hold on to it. Like, you're receiving something can have an active component, because you should do something when you receive a message. So I just liked those words for me stand out in general, like, just because I'm like, oh, this is a really active thing that we should be engaged with and not just sitting on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. And I'm not saying this is easy, or time maybe it comes naturally. Like, it's, we want to enjoy the bug, right? And just say, oh, that's fun, right? But it's a challenge for sure.
But as we think about, like, as a church, as a group too, I think a lot of churches get, in a negative way, caught up on metrics, saying, well, we shouldn't be counting things, this is about what God's doing. But you're a church, it's not growing in numbers through conversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a reasonable metric.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a fair metric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. It's not about numbers, but it's... But it is. It's sort of the, yeah.
I like how Paul rarely, well, he did throw some numbers in that, but it's growing, it's increasing, it's double. Like, he, like, just that was a very key concept.
Mm-hmm.
So he had metrics, but it was really just, is there growth? Is there?
Yeah.
Some churches use baptism and stuff like that, but convert, like, just, are your numbers growing through?
Yeah. You know,
Christians.
Yeah, that's good.
I think in the context of culture, the aspect of release is in now, like, for instance, in India, one could go to jail if you try to evangelize openly.
Yeah.
And conversion is a big no there. You need to have a lawyer sitting with you to actually have that. Before they willing to go into water baptism, they would actually have a lawyer just to make sure that legally they're taken care of. So the aspect of releasing in the context of culture, even here, I think knowing that and how we could actually be those agents of release, sometimes even knowing how to do it, the thing itself is a great thing.
Right.
And a training and discipleship.
Right. Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agents of release. I like those things. What you just said too reminds us that the gospel is controversial. It is hated. Yes. And we just kind of, especially in church circles, yeah, the gospel. It's gospel. It's good news. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are like, we don't feel that here, right? Like, oh, they convict me because of the things that I, or the laws or the rules I have. That's different. But, yeah, it's very different to go, you have to be legally signing papers to accept the gospel, or not to accept it, but to act it out.
And I think it's interesting, even just kind of stepping back into this culture. You know, in one culture, there's at times there's an over receptivity. It's like, some people may get involved in church for different reasons, right? And at times it was kind of the social aspect, or the security that brought. Like, we saw that at times in Philippines. Like, there, you know, real conversions that happened as well too. But here, like, there's a real resistance to it, where it's like, well, no, like, that's been done before. You know, it's like, oh yeah, my parents were I don't want to pick on a particular church or whatever, but, you know, United or whatever, where it was just sort of like, I guess I always go back to this conversation that I had with my hairdresser a few months back where, you know, they ask, well, what are you here for? Well, I'm actually here to plant a church or, you know, start a church. He says, oh, okay. Like I grew up in Mount Forest and went to this church, and he said, well, there's not a need for organized religion anymore. It's like, oh, okay. That's the sentiment of our culture, right? Where it's like, my parents did that. I went there as a kid. We're good now. You know, and there's that resistance to the gospel, and I think that's what Paul is saying. That is like, well, that's not the gospel message revealed, right? That's not the fullness of the message revealed to you. And so I think there's an intentionality and a challenge. Satan has his ways in every culture, whether it's like life threats in India, right? You know, and that difficulty. But I'll tell you, like, he's got a massive grip on people's hearts in this culture as well. And there's a resistance. There's a resistance to church. That anything to do with church, well, that's just going to take up my Sunday morning, right? And I mean, maybe I'm getting it wrong, but that's really what it seems like.
I think there's a resistance there. It might be... sort of what you said, there's no need for organized religion, at least the thought being, because the output of organized religion is good people.
Right.
And we don't need church for good people.
Right. I'm already good people.
We're all good people. And, you know, yes, like there's bad things, but like church, like they view the gospel as just a way to be good people.
Mm.
But it's not. That's a symptom.
Yeah.
But it's not. Whereas the church has traditionally been viewed, what was the phrase? That's not very Christian of you. Right, and that's what it became. Or you didn't go to church on Sunday, so you must not be moral now.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like where it comes from, where there's this, yeah. I think there's a view now where we don't need the thing that we think the church gives us.
Right,
we can get it in many other ways.
Right, right. So even a clarity about what the church is about is what we are going to need to make sure is very clear. Right, that it's. You know, all are welcome, but it's not about just, we're not offering you things that'll help you be a better person, but for you to actually become. I've heard it said, and one of my professors, Luch Lombardi, he's got some great books, one on Ephesians and one on Galatians, where he talks about the new humanity, that it's when we come to Christ, that's when we actually become more human, like what we were intended to be. That it's like, and I think that's what we need to be telling people, that it's like, no, when you come to Christ, when you receive salvation, it's actually, Paul talks about it in Colossians, right? Being renewed in the image of your Creator. It's like you can be more you than you've ever been when you come to Christ. You actually are being renewed back to what you were originally meant to be, and that's the most beautiful thing. You know?
Yeah. It's a good caution, though, that like a lot of people go to church, and what they hear and what they see in the culture is do better, be better.
Mm.
And that's a symptom, not a cause, or not the root cause, but it's hard to make it feel different.
Yeah.
It's hard to preach it different.
Yeah.
The fruit is there, right? Like, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Which could also be said, be a better person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That is tough.
It's good.
I like the repeat.
The repeat.
Because, like, it's never over kind of thingy. Like, the repeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over.
It's like the never ending song.
Yeah.
Keeps going. Yeah. It's good. Thanks, man. Yeah. Good, guys. Yeah. Good. Well, why don't we end our time in prayer? So let's close off in prayer. God, we're so thankful for this message, not my message, but this message of the gospel truth, that is so, so much more than a message. that it is alive, it is active. We have seen how it has impacted, changed our lives. And we praise you, God, for that. You know, we can sing of the love of God, you know, that paid our debt on a rugged cross. Lord, that you have brought us life. And thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of that story and now to be a part of this journey in our new life. Our new life with you. And so God, just continue to show us what it means to be people that truly have received the message. And in other words, we have received it. We are in you, we are in Christ, but to be understanding and having that assurance and that firm just firm stance on, yes, I am Christ. He has bought me with his blood, and I thank you for that, God. And then to be people that would reveal it, that are continually growing in their faith, just revealing that message amongst ourselves and then releasing it, being about evangelism, just sharing that message with others and then discipling others to growth in you. And so God, we are brand new as a group, maybe a bit similar to the Colossian folks way back, but God, we do want to be people that get this right and do it well. And so, Lord, continue to speak to us. Put it on our hearts how we can be new life believers and a new life church. And so, Lord, we just pray for an excitement on our hearts and just in our minds as well, too, for all that you have planned for each and every one of us. Lord, we ask for your leading and your guiding. God, go before us today. We pray for safety as we travel to our homes. And we just pray for health and strength. Just again, praying for those who are sick amongst our group. We pray in Jesus' name that they would experience your healing touch. Lord, your encouragement as well. Just a wonderful sense of your presence, even just right now, that they would just sense that you are with them and that you are their encouragement. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
I am concerned with your bug torture.
I feel like some of them were actually really cool
now
bugs.
That